I say it every week, and I'm going to say it again. There are always what seem to be the clear relationships between the Sedra and the Haftorah, and they never tell the whole story. For example, the first pasuk by Hamelach David Zaken Bo Bayamim. You know how many other people this term is used, this description? Avram and Sarah. And Yehoshua ben Nun. Zaken and Bo Bayamim. What's the meaning of the Zaken? Zaken means chronologically old. What does Bo Bayamim mean? I saw once somebody wrote that the meaning of Bo Bayamim is the following. You know, people come to the end of one's life and then they begin to look back and so, what did I accomplish? What did I do? Did I make a mark? Did I do something worthwhile? And then there are the unusual and unique people. By the way, most of us have. Don't get depressed. We've all done a great deal of many good things in life. Sometimes we have to dig a little bit to remind ourselves or pinch ourselves. We did a lot of good things. But there are people that can come at the end of their lives with all of their days in hand. Time is fleeting. Time is nebulous. How do you give life to time? How do you make it something concrete? If you've done a good deed and it took you 5 minutes, those 5 minutes are frozen in time. It becomes something concrete. It exists. There are rare people who are able to come to the end of life, and they come by yomim, with their days in hand. They can make a cheshbon for every day. Every day do a mitzvah, every day do a masim tovim. This is an unusual kind of statement to be made, and it's made about Avram and Sarah, it's made about Yehoshua, and it is made about David HaMelech. So here there's immediately already a relationship. The HaMelech David Zaken Bo Bayamim, by Yechasu, by the Godim, they covered him with garments below Yechalo and didn't warn him. Now, when we look at it chronologically, he's not really that old. He's 70 years old. Many of us, life begins at 70. Why is everybody laughing? I mean, what it's you are, I'm waiting to see. Life begins at 70. Until 70, we're getting ready to start living. Alright? So here he is, he's 70. The only thing is, he has most probably, in terms of his accomplishments, his suffering, the pain, he's lived 10 lives already by the time he reaches 70. David HaMelech had to flee from the poor Shaul for years. He waged war against all of the enemies of Israel. Interesting, you know? Israel was surrounded by enemies in those days. Can you imagine what that means? 3,000 years ago. It seems all the nations around were enemies. And he waged war with all of them. It was a lifetime of battle. He was also a great Talmud Chacham, a great scholar. He was a decider in Jewish law. His was a tenfold full life. And when he suffered from children, he lost his three oldest children. He lost Amnon was killed by Avshalom, by another son. Avshalom was the one who rebelled against him and nearly brought down the entire kingdom of the house of David. There was another son, Daniel, his second. We're not sure what happened to him, but he disappears. We're up to now son number four. The whole Haftorah is going to be about son number four, Adoniyahu ben Haggis. David is now in the very twilight of his years. He's ill. He's ill. He has, for all intents and purposes, lost touch with the world. He's not giving instructions. That the country is just moving because he had set it up in such a way that it's going to move. And he's cold, and the Lord Yechamlo, they covered him up with all sorts of clothing and did not want him. So his servant said to him, Bakshula Tobiya Melah, Nara Vitula, let us find, let us seek from our master the king, a virgin girl, Ba'ondal of Nehamelah, who will stand before the king, Utihilo so chenet, she will be an attendant to him. And Shahbod Hekecha, even that he should get bodily warmth from her. The Chamat Aliyah Melech, and it will be warmth for my master the king. By Vashim Marad, off of the whole Buddhist world, they sought a beautiful girl in all of the families of Israel. By Yitzhu, where they found, and this should be familiar to you, that Abishar Hashunamit. Abishar Hashunamit. Does anybody know where Shunam is? How many kilometers from Gibeah Hamora is it? Avishan Hashunamit. We talked in last week's Haftorah about the great woman of Shunam, his sisters. The one that last week's Haftorah was about, the great woman of Shunam, is a sister to Avishan Hashunamit. Bahanara Yopa Azmiya was very beautiful. But they brought her to the king, and the girl is very beautiful, Vatila Melech Sochenet, and she was an attendant for the king, Vatisharatehu, and she served him. Vamelech Lo Yedo'o, but the king did not know her commonly, he was not intimate with her. There are those who say that one of the reasons, that Mali says one of the reasons is because the king has permitted 18 wives and he had 18 wives already. So he was not going to know her, he wasn't going to divorce any of his wives. Adoniyah ben Chavi, here's where the story begins. Now, there's a great deal said in the portion about all of this, what was happening over there. It seems that at one point in time, he had torn the garment of Shaul the king. And because he cut the garment of Shaul the king, clothing and garments no longer gave him warmth at the end of his life. Adoniyah ben Chagit mitmasei lemor ani eloch, Adoniyah the son of Chagit. These people are, when son of, that means his mother's name was Chagit. Good, good Israeli name. Chagit, Sarit, Adoniyah ben Chagit. Because the wife, he had a number of wives and he had children, different wives. Adoniyah ben Chagit mitmasei lemor, he exalted and raised himself, saying, I am going to be king. And he began to demonstrate and conduct himself like he's already the ruler in waiting. By Yaskol Gathul Baruch, he made chariots and riders. The Hamishan Yishnos in the following, there are 50 men riding with one another. Yeah, can you imagine when he goes through Yerushalayim? So today, when important people go through, some are motorcycles in front and motorcycles in back. Here he has 50 runners riding or running in front of him. The Hamishan Yishnos in the following. And the Pasuk says, and this is one beautiful Sukkim in Tanakh, below Atsavo Ovid Miyamo, the Pasuk wants to say, how can a son do this to the father? How can a son do this to a father? We're not talking about stomach father, we're talking about David HaMelech. How can a son, in a sense, begin to mount a rebellion against his father? The Pasuk says, below Atsavo Ovid Miyamo, Nom of Lamor, his father had never saddened him all of his life, saying to him, Madua Kocha Sita, why did you do such and such? He never admonished him. What I like about this pasuk is the absolute honesty of Tanakh. David did not conduct himself the way a father should have conducted himself without knowing the open target. He made a mistake. I'm not afraid to say it. Nobody gets shook up out of that. On the contrary, others learn from David. These are the kind of psukim that convince me beyond any shadow of a doubt that these are the words of Nebuah, this is prophecy, this is holy. You don't find what you will find in other histories where kings and presidents were only great, only terrific, only outstanding, only people of great virtue. I think I was 50 years old till I found out that George Washington, who was first in peace, first in war, first in the hearts of his countrymen, was also a shikl shikha. A good shikha. I mean, the only one I haven't found out anything bad about yet is Lincoln. That's all. Lincoln hasn't found anything about. Maybe Woodrow Wilson, not sure. All right. But it takes you years until you find out that people have flaws. And people having flaws doesn't mean that they're bad. We all have flaws. Some more, some less. But we all have flaws. Here tonight is ready to tell us clearly there was a flaw. David didn't admonish his son or the other Maccabees. That's one reason why he had the chutzpah to go ahead and attempt to seize the kingdom. The gambling told Tarniel. He was also very good looking. People who are good looking, so first of all, there are people who are attracted to them, and second, they think the world owes them a debt of gratitude. It was the downfall of Avshalom. About Avshalom also said that he was very good looking. They begin to think that the whole world is theirs. By the way, they did nothing whatsoever in order to be good looking. It's not personal accomplishment of theirs. But Tom Yaldar Adayah Shalom, the Prophet says, the third reason, his mother gave birth to him after Avshalom's mother gave birth to Avshalom, which makes him fourth in line. If he's fourth in line and the first three are dead, he is the ranking member of the Chesed of Darabah. Vayim Tvarav. So it's in the beginning, he begins the plot. Vayid Varav in Yor ben Tzruya. He spoke with Yor ben Tzruya, who was commander-in-chief of the armed forces. I mean, you have to have the commander-in-chief of the armed forces with you. Vim Eviatar Kohen, the Kohen of Yassel, say he has the military leader. He has the spiritual leader of the Jewish people. Vayazu Acharei Adoniyah, and they assisted Adoniyah. The Tzadik HaKohen, now the Pasuk is going to list those who were not invited to join the rebellion of Adoniyahu. The Tzadik HaKohen, the Kohen Tzadok, Ubenoyohu ben Yehoyada, Benoyohu ben Yehoyada was the head of the Sanhedrin, the real 70 in ancient times. The Natan HaNabi, the prophet Natan, yes.
David's general,
commander-in-chief of the forces, Yoav, who fought side by side with David. So you're wondering why Yoav joins this conspiracy. Well, no, he joins the conspiracy because he knows that David is going to make sure that he is punished for things that he did. He assassinated a number of people in his lifetime. Avner ben Ner, who was commander-in-chief of the forces of Saul. Amasa, there were a few people whom he assassinated, and David was upset with him. And it even said earlier that, back in Shmuel, it said that these people, the sons of Tzeruya, they are difficult people that even David didn't want to start with them. Yoav wants to make sure that the new king is going to be beholden to him, so that he's going to be able to maintain his strength and his life. The end is, of course, Shlomo is going to kill him. Shlomo is going to put him, this is serious, this is life and death politics, life and death. Abiathar HaKohen had also already reached the point that David had rejected him, because there was a point at which David had no information from the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, and he was not answered from heaven. So David already understood that Abiathar is no longer going to be the Kohen Gadol. And the prophet Nathan, the Shimi, the Rei, Shimi, and there are questions who Shimi this was, and Rei, is it a person by the name of Rei, or is it a friend? Perhaps the Bodhimish, the mighty ones, they were the palace guard, they were those who the fellas get from the days of Lechi, from Palmach, the guys that had come up with him from the ranks, those who were behind him when he was fleeing in the forests of Eretz Yisrael. The Gibbarim HaShem, they were not the Adon Yehud. They remained completely loyal to Tavim. And now, Yizbach Adon Yehud, Tzom, Uvachor, Meri, Adon Yehud went ahead and he slaughtered sheep and cattle and fattened cattle in Eben HaZochelet Asher Eitzel Ein Rogeh. Well, you lived on Ein Rogeh. That's right. You lived on Ein Rogeh. Where is Ein Rogeh? If I'm not mistaken, Ein Rogeh is by the southeast end of the old city. I'm talking about the ancient Ein Rogeh. I know where the street is. Where the street is, I know. But the street is named after, am I right, Peggy?
It's the farm near the Shiloh.
Near the Shiloh, we're going to see. That means if you're standing at the Shar HaAshba and you move eastward from the Shar HaAshba, further down, not far from Silwan,
south,
that's
south. All the way down south, south, at the south of the hill where the people
and come it's to the south. East of the old city.
Yeah.
That's Ein Rogeh, yes? That's right, they used to go down to, in the Shayahu, Ein Rogeh is called Sudei Koveis. The field in which they got their clothing. So in Eben HaZochelet, all sorts of shot in what this Eben HaZochelet is, does it mean that there was water that was seeping through over there? Vayikra Kol Echav B'nei HaMelech, he called all his brothers, the sons of the king, and almost all the other princes he invited. Ul'chol Amshei Yehuda Avdei HaMelech, and to all the people of Yehuda, the servants of the king we're talking about. There's a lot of power in these Mardim. The Mardim. That's what we will call them. The rebellious ones. The Mardim. Bet Natan Hanavi Uben Yahu. Now it's very fascinating. We've already been told in Pasuk 8 who was not with Adon Yahu, and for some reason it's repeated again. But Natan Abi, the prophet Natan Uben Yahu, and Ben Yahu et Hagibonim, that Shlomo Achim Lo Kara, he didn't call it. The repetition is going to be interesting. Vayomer Natan Al Hashadi, here is where everything, the action begins. Natan said to Bathsheba, Aim Shlomo Le, the mother of Shlomo say, you must have heard, Ki Moah Adon Yahu. Adon Yehud has become king. The fact is, it's not really. It hasn't really happened yet. But you have to notice that everybody here is going to say what they feel is most important, or they're going to emphasize that which is going to get the adrenaline moving. Here he comes to her and he tells her it's a fait accompli. Because that's the only thing that's going to get her moving. You should know Moah Adon Yehud ben Chagit. Adon Yehud ben Chagit has ruled, become king. But the name of David, and our master David, does not know. But after that, he is not going to give you advice. Umalti at that safe and save your life, and save the life of your son Shlomo. Because there's no question about it. Adon Yehud ben Chagit is king. He's going to remove you. A chisul memukad. How do they say it in English?
Targeted killing.
A targeted killing. He's going to kill you because you are the ones that stand in his way of being the absolute ruler. So now he starts telling her what to do. Lechi, go, uboi, and come. Lechi, uboi, leaves the impression of haste. You got to do it quickly. There's no time to think. There's no time to tarry. No time to wait. Come to the king David Bar-Mark, and what you should say to him. Hello, Atma, Adon Yehud, Nishbata, Machalimah, is what is something that she can say that nobody else in the world can say. David had sworn to her that her son Shlomo was going to be king. This is what she has to use. That's the ace that she has.
Hello, Nishbata,
but the king, you are not the king. You swore to your maidservant saying, Kishlo, the name King Lochacharai, your son Shlomo is going to be king after me. But who can shave up Kisiyah? And he will sit on the throne. Umadulam Molach Adoniyom. Why has Adoniyom become king? Yes, she realizes also she's going to be talking as she's been told, that he's already king. And it may be too late. Hinei, Odach Medaberet, watch what's going on over there. Odach Medaberet, when I was still talking to him, Shalom HaMelech, Vani Abo Acharayich, everything is going to be timed so that everything works out well. While you're still talking to the king, I'm going to come in. See, things got messed up last week. You know, when the Tanya was there, Arlette was supposed to come, and the rest of them, they got their timing all messed up, and therefore the great rebellion of the 2004 figured out. Here, precision and timing is extremely important. So therefore he says, while you're still talking, I'm going to come. While you're still talking, I will complete your words. And they immediately go about. Bathsheba came to the king, Hachadra, into his room. Bamela Zakim, the king, his condition has already deteriorated even more. He is very old now. Bavishaka Shunamit, the Shareta Kamela, and Bavishaka Shunamit is serving the king. Batiko Bathsheba, she bent her knees, Batishak Lamela, and she prostrated herself before the king. Bayomer Hamela, and the king said, Maloch, Maloch. Now the meaning of Maloch is, you know, there are no niceties exchanged over here, like Bathsheba Mashulneich, how are the children, how's that? Because he knows that her coming under these circumstances signal something is happening. Because he had really been out of touch with the world. The only one who was there with him was Avisha Hashunamit. She was his contact with the world was limited to her. Nobody has come to talk to the king because his condition is he's very weak. He's very weak and he's old. Now the fact that all of a sudden Bathsheba appears without having made an appointment, without having sent a message, so he understands something is wrong. And therefore, no niceties. Maloch, what's wrong? Atomalo, she said to Matoni, Atomi Shvato, Hashem Elokecha. Now you see, you have to watch all the Mefarshim deal with this to see how everybody says what they say. When Natan HaMadi told her, tell the king you swore to me, he didn't say to her, tell the king you swore to me by the name of God your God. She now is beginning to add what are significant ideas. You swore to me by God. By God your God. To your maidservant, Shlomo b'neich in lo chacharai, your son Shlomo, those were your words. Shlomo b'neich in lo chacharai, but who gave Shema to see and he's going to sit on my throne? The Atma, and now we know Adoniyah, Moloch. Adoniyah has ruled, he's king. The Atma, Adoniyah, Melech, Lo Yadate, and now my master, the king, you don't know it. You don't know that. And not only that, she's making it even more serious. By Yizbach, he's celebrating the coronation already. By Yizbach, Shor, Medin, Bitzon, Lodo, he has slaughtered sheep and bull and battle sheep and she has another significant word, Loro. When Natan HaMadi told her, he just told her that he slaughtered sheep and cattle and battle cattle. She has the word Loro. You know that already makes things even worse. By Yigro Lechobin Yamelech, and he has called to all the sons of the king, all the princes who love Yatar, coming into the coming of Yatar, Ule Yor, Sarat Zavam, Yor, the commandment sheep. But Shlomo Ar Lechalot Torah, he didn't call your son, your servant Shlomo, he didn't call. She also wants to get across the message. There's something in very, very bad taste over here. The king may be dying. And they're celebrating. Maybe a kilometer away, the king may be slipping away. And Adoniyo, the son, the eldest son, Mahutskit, all of it.
But it's a rebellion, so you would expect it.
No. Rebellion, the truth is that, I'm not a real world expert on rebellions, but over here we're talking about a son and a father. You understand? He may be having to, he may start saying Kaddish in another 2 days from now. You have to have a little sense of propriety of what's right and what's wrong. You can go ahead with all of your plans without making a public display of it with you'll see it gets worse. And you, now she's smart enough to let David know it's not all lost. Up until now she may have left him with the impression it's all over. Too bad. I'm just giving you the news, and that's it. Now she tells him, Adonai, you, my master, the king, ain't call you slow out of the eyes of all of Israel upon you. Have you learned to tell them, me, they shave out, he say, Adonai, Hamelech Acharav. All of Israel is waiting with bated breath for you to tell them who's going to sit on the throne of my master, the king. When my master will lie with his fathers when he dies, what will happen is, honey, my son Shlomo are going to be sinners. If you don't tell them what has to be done, we're going to suffer. And behold, surprise. It's a surprise only to David. We know already what's going to happen. While she's still talking with the king, the Natan Rabbah, and Natan the prophet came. You see, there's a difference. Bathsheba can come in without being announced. Not even Natan HaNavi cannot do that. By the idea of another flame, they tell the king, saying, he nay, behold Natan HaNavi. By the whole thing, another thing, he came before the king. By the shtakul HaMelech HaLav HaBarza, he prostrates himself before the king to the ground. By Yom HaNatan, Natan said, Adoni HaMelech. And he takes a different approach. He's not assuming that anything is taking place without the full knowledge of the king. He's leaving him with the impression that he's still in charge. And he says to him, like asking, you said that you say that Adonijah should be king of you, who Yeshiva Kisi? It seems like that's what you said. I mean, I can't believe that Adonijah is doing this without having received your permission. I can't be. No one does anything like that. Which leaves, of course, the impression that, it must be with your approval. Because the fact is that he went down today, and by the way, we know the topography. To get there, you go down. You have to go down from Shah Hashpa until you get to Ein Rogeh. He's also added the word Larov. By he called all the sons of the king, he doesn't mention Yoav, he just says all of the commanders. Here is where he wants to upset David. They're eating and drinking before him. You're lying here dying, and they're eating and drinking. That's what he wants to tell. Shane kicks the ice of Ramelech. You saw, you understand, has made a big party while you're dying. Here it really reaches the peak. By the moment they said, Yechi HaMelech Adonijah, long live King Adonijah. And me, I am your servant, and Tzadok HaKohen, and the Noyov, and your Tzadok, the Shlomo Adcha Lokar, I didn't call. By the way, this is the third or fourth time we're told the same thing. It is repeated, there is probably not another chapter in Tanakh where there are as many repetitions of the story as you have in this chapter. The whole story is told with slightly different variations, no less than four times. By the way,
Right on the mark.
There's one other place in Tanakh where there's a repetition that seems to make no sense. In this week's Sefer, the whole story of Eliezer. We hear the whole story as it happens. And then, when Eliezer comes into the house of Laban, he repeats the whole story, detail by detail. By the way, also a fascinating study, he changes something here, he changes something there, the whole story. And in fact, the story is said again when the pasuk says that when he finally arrives home with Rivka, he tells his master everything that had happened. From which Rashi brings the Gemara that says, Yavosichoson shall have de avos, the simple conversation of the servants of the patriarchs is greater before God than Torah Tanishon Panim, the Torah of the sons. There are great halachot that we learn from an extra vav, a hey, or even Torah Nerashomayim. And here's a whole parasha. Every letter in Torah is weighed and measured. And here we have the whole story, twice in full detail. In the Torah, it's even more significant. The four repetitions, and each one adds or subtracts or puts something in a different order. It's a fascinating study to get into. But you know, I have a lot to say on this Torah, and I've not yet begun. I have not yet begun. If this is from my master the king, see, he's taking the different track, tack. The tack he's taking is that this clearly must be with your approval. If this happened because of you, it came from you. In the eight, Adoy Anelach, Miyon HaTorah, I said this happened because of you. So he's getting personally, he's insulted. He didn't tell me, I'm your trusted servant. Believe. Below the Tabit, out of obligation, he said, Tony, another Hakon, you didn't tell your servant me, Natana, not me. From Pasuk Chavpet comes the most significant part of Haftarah. This David is going to rise with tremendous strength, like the lion of Judah that he was. King David answered and said, "Kiruli leBathsheba, call Bathsheba." By the way, here we know, of course, at the moment that Nathan came into the room, she disappeared. Nobody's supposed to be with the king when the prophet is speaking with the king. She disappeared from the room. Call Bathsheba. Batavol leTnei and she came before the king. Batamol leTnei HaMelech, and she stood before the king. By Yishava HaMelech Bayomah, the king swore and said, "Remember, he may be dying, but there is strength that is going to come to the fore. Chai Asher Masher Padot Nafshi Mikol Tzara, I swear by God who redeemed me from all trial and travail. Ki Kasher Nibati Lach, exactly as I swore to you, Bashem Elokei Yisrael, by the God of Israel, Neymar, I said to you, Kishlom Benefi Loch Amarai, Shlom and the son will rule after you, after me, Bo Yeshev HaKisi, and he will sit on my throne, Tatoi in my place, that's exactly what I'm going to do today. Batiko Batsheva Atayim, Batsheva bowed before him, Batishtacho HaMelech Batomei, she said, Yechi Adoni HaMelech David Ma'olam. David Melech is called Chai Pei. Let me ask you something. I think that this may be the most significant relationship between the Sedra and the Haftorah until I find an even more significant one. But right now, this is the one that seems to me to be important. Natan HaNavi is the one who has prophesied that Shlomo is going to be king over Israel. I don't know, I think to myself that as the reports come to Natan HaNavi, that all that's taking place down there at Ein Rogel, they're all gathering for the great announcement that Adonijah ben Haggith is king. You know what he should do? He should sit there and just laugh. And they'll ask him, Matan, why do you laugh? So he said, listen, I prophesied in the name of God. God told me that Shlomo was going to be king. Let all these mere mortals run around over there and play their silly games. Nothing is going to come of it. guaranteeing me. You're betting there, I'll bet you nothing's going to happen. Do you think mere little mortals are going to frustrate God's divine plan? Do you know what's writing on this plan? And do you know that when there is a prophecy for good, that God is going to do something good for somebody, there is nothing in the world that can change it? This prophet becomes a politician, a man of machinations, a guy who seems to be so involved in palace politics. What's he doing it for? What's he doing it for? Who needs him? Why didn't he just stand there and say, God, bring down lightning and thunder upon them? Now you should mention over there who thinks that they're going to frustrate God's plan. Shlomo's going to be king, he's going to build the Beit HaMikdash, he's going to bring the divine presence down. Let me ask you another question. And if Avram would not have sent Eliezer to find a wife for Yitzhak, what do you think would have happened? Yitzhak wouldn't have married Rivka. My personal feeling, I'm pretty certain, if Eliezer won't bring her home, they'll arrange him as a lot of other ways to bring Rivka there. They'll send her to study Christian seminary for a year and then to study in the one-year program. And she can be invited to the house of our home. Yes, she's the Yitzchak and then stand back behind it. It's all over. What's Avram getting himself upset about? Why does he swear to it? Make Eliezer swear. Why do we need the whole story? And God even intervenes in the middle of his whole story. God is the one. Eliezer says, God sent her here. He's going to come to the well, and he sees the girls walking out to fetch water from the well, and he says, the one who might bless the water, and she will say, I will give you to drink, and also to your camels. One of the most unusual scenes in all of Tanakh. She says she's a three-year-old girl. You know what? No. According to another letter, she's 13 years old. Give her 10 camels. 10 camels must probably be emptying the Kinneret. 10 camels, and you can imagine 10 gesunte shtick camel drivers, and they're all standing there, twiddling their thumbs, while this little girl is running back and forth to the well to fill up the trough, to give to drink to all of the all the camels. It's an unbelievable story. And all the strange things. It's mad. The whole story is mad. But I'm asking, you know, it seems that there are a lot of people who are involved here in this year. It's not so far. There's the Shachin. Min HaShamayim, you understand. God himself gets involved over here to make sure that it's going to work out. When you have a good Shachin who knows how to negotiate between the two sides, it gets much better. I mean, no question about it. Eliezer says that the Eliezer comes and says what they call in Israel Sidur Male. There's going to be a diga, and there's going to be all the furnishings and flops. You know what flops are? Flowers, liquor, orchestra, photographer, shake. For a moment I thought that it was schnapps, but then it would be a repetition of the L. Rashi says that he comes with cold tooth Adonai because of all of the wealth of his master Avon. He comes with a star saying, a document saying that everything belongs to Yitzhak. Who needed it all? What was the point of it all? You think that Yitzhak wouldn't have married Rivka? It's one of the things that are ordained by heaven. Our Bunyan can. It's in that about 40 days before the embryo. God already has decided that plumbing looks lonely. So what do you learn? The kasha that I'm asking is not really such a serious kasha. You know how serious it is? It's as serious as Natan HaNavi asking David, you said, you must have said that I'm going to be old and Chagas is buzzing. What do we learn from here? We learn from here that there's a responsibility for man to do. One can never read oneself, sit back and say, the Rabbi Shalom, the Rabbi Shalom. Panasa, the Rabbi Shalom. Oh, look, that's the famous story with the father-in-law who says that he loves his son-in-law because his son-in-law thinks that he's God. Where are the problems are going to come from? The Rabbi Shalom again. We're not his giving. The problem was it. My son-in-law considers me God.
Right.
In this world, we have a responsibility to act. We never have the right. We never have the right to sit back and say, well, you know, Rachel did right. I was talking to somebody yesterday, I've heard this already a number of times. Why don't you come out to a demonstration? There are terrible things happen in this country. Are you going to come to the Tefillah gathering? Yesterday was awesome. I don't remember in all the years that I've been in Eretz Yisrael to have been at a Tefillah gathering like we had yesterday at Kikar Zion. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. And the Kavana, 2.5 hours of tremendous Kavana too. So there are those, of course, who don't attend. Are those who don't attend because they can't attend. But then there are those who, for ideological reasons, certainly not when it was called by the Zionist rabbis Shapiro and Eliyahu. So it's a constant refrain that I hear. Lay melachim v'sarim b'yad Hashem. That's a passage that says the hearts of kings and officers in the hands of God. This disengagement, who do you think put disengagement into Sharon's head? Omri! Hey! The Rebellion! You don't fight the Rebellion's plans. Show Shemai, I've never heard anything as stupid and as ugly as that. We have a responsibility to act. If we know that it's wrong, we believe that it's wrong, man is never free of the responsibility to act. Not only that. Even God doesn't even listen to prayer until you have done as much as you can. Prayer never works as long as it's something you can do. Now, a person will say, God decided on Rosh Hashanah what my income for this year is going to be. I'm not going to do anything if He decided. It's His business not to make sure that I get it. Doesn't work that way in this world. Do you know where you learn this even more than Parashat HaShavuah? Nasan Hanavi! Here is the same prophet to whom God said Shlomo is going to be king, and he's the one who has said this prophecy. You should know, once a prophecy for good is given to a prophet, and he articulates it, that becomes carved in stone. It must be. And despite the fact that it must be, you know what this fellow Nelson Anavi is doing? Every conceivable way that it is possible for him to accomplish this. Now, why is he doing it? Why doesn't he sit back? That was my question.
Yeah.
Why doesn't he sit back? You know why he doesn't sit back? Because we're in a world where God wants us to do. God wants us to be partners with Him in history. We don't leave anything to chance. We have to do whatever we can. One of the great examples that's brought by the Chovat HaVavav brings God comes to Shmuel, the prophet Shmuel, and he tells him, go ahead and anoint one of the children of Yishai in Bethlehem. Anoint him as to be the new king over Israel. This is while Shaul is still king. So there's an unbelievable conversation that takes place over here. So remember, God Almighty, Melech Malchei Malachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tells his trusted prophet Shmuel, go to Bethlehem and anoint one of the children of Yishai. So his response to him is, Eich Eilech, how can I go? V'shom HaShol V'harabuni. If Shaul hears about it, he's going to kill him. Kill me. How can I do it? still a question to ask. The commission sends you on a mission? Anyway, how do I go? Shaul's going to kill me. God sends you. You know what he means? It means that he's going to send 10,000 malachim to the right. 10,000 malachim. I'm not going to kill that. Okay. If I send you, in other words, God should have said to Shmuel, I'm sending you. What do you think is sending you? I'm sending you. And if I'm sending you, that means I'm going to take care of you. You're going to get there. Because that man over there in that Latin has to be anointed. Do you know what God's response is? It's an unbelievable response. Eglas bokor tikach v'yodecho, take a calf in your hand and come to Bethlehem and tell them that you've come to make a sacrifice in Bethlehem. You understand what's part of it? God tells him how to lie. God tells him how to lie. What kind of lie? What cover he should have? Why doesn't the mission come? Shmuel, you don't trust me? You think I'm going to send you to Bethlehem so you should be killed yourself? Don't worry, I'll take care of you. No. So the Chabad Chabad says that from here you learn that there's a responsibility upon man to do whatever he can. You can't leave anything to chance or say to the Rebbeinu of Helfen. The Rebbeinu of Helfen, if we're going to help, if we do something, doesn't God say the same thing to Moshe Rabbeinu? A Jewish people, there are 3 million people who are being, who are suffering in the concentration camps of the Tzaddik. And God tells him, go to old Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. And God adds, at the snare, the burning bush, he adds and he says, all of the people who seek your life are dead. Why does God have to hear that? If he sends him to take his people out of Egypt, obviously the mission will take care of him. Even God, you know, wherever you don't need a miracle, you go about, man has a responsibility to do. It may not help. That's not your responsibility. Look, I'm going to stand on the street corners again. I'm sick of it already. 11 years. 11 years. We thought it's all over. No, no, no. As long as there's something that can be done, it's the responsibility of mankind. You can't just find a convenient, frum-sounding excuse. Leib Malachim, the Sodim, B'yad Hashem, the hearts of kings and officers and prime ministers on the hands of God, there's nothing I can do about it. You know, once told me I gave a shiur when I started this, you know, this operation started about 18, 19 years ago. I think I should make a party one of these days, Peggy. You know? Maybe 20. In 1984. 20 years since we started St. Shul. It was then down in one of our main places that was in the basement in the Klot of Yeshur and Synagogue. So I said a shiur, you know, a different nature, but the idea that man has to do. So there was some fellow over there that tells me, when the fighting started, I think it was the Yom Kippur War, he said, my Rashiva went into his office and he said, tell him, you don't have to do anything else. My Rashiva went in to say to him in his office. So I'm afraid, I've never seen the fellow again, because I told him, and when he has to cover the budget at the end of the month, does he go into his office and say to him, or does he get onto the first flight to the United States of America? I don't think the guy ever said that. He disappeared so fast he didn't know anything. There is a responsibility upon men to act. We never have the right. We never have the right to let up. As long as there's something we can do. Avraham Avinu knows just like anybody else. Because God has told him, keep Yitzchak, Yikor, and Hosea. Yitzchak is going to be the father of a great nation. Look, all this out of if he knows there's a shitter in the world for Yitzchak. There's no doubt about it in Avraham's mind for a moment. That does does not free him of the responsibility to go out and do what he can do. And one never knows. That may be precisely what God is waiting for. That's exactly what he's waiting for. You went ahead and you did your share? Okay. That's it. Living is there waiting for you. You do your share. I do my share. Now, Tana Hanavi is the one who brought the message from God that Shlomo's been reclaimed. That doesn't free him for a moment from doing everything in his power, and he acts with such speed, with such intelligence. It sounds like a real intrigue in a palace, but the end of the story is the great strength of David HaMelech. He rises to the occasion. The Lion of Judah rises to the occasion. There's always responsibility upon mankind. And it's only either when there's nothing left to do that you can say, Englon Lamil, you show we have nobody upon whom to depend. Ella Alabu Shabashamayan, Father in heaven. And then, of course, in the event that one acts and prays, that's the best combination of all. To pray without acting is no prayer. To act without praying doesn't stand a chance. The two of them together. That's the message of the Haftorah and the Seder. That's it.